This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one goth.
Guess who's who?
Alexis, you did this last
Sorry.
Episode.
It's true. It's like, I'm a goth.
Listen, I have goth tendencies. Emo is goth light.
Yes, yeah. It is.
Right?
Goth adjacent,
yes.
Too.
Goth adjacent.
It's goth adjacent, yes.
I mean, the music that I listen to, goths would be embarrassed by, because there's nothing less goth
there's
than
no thrashy
pop punk music.
You know what, though? But there are certain things with pop punk, like with Blink 182, yeah. They've got some goth tendencies.
Right.
Like Miss You is a goth song.
True.
That's a goth song.
But the real bands that I listened to were influenced by Blink 182.
Yes.
So you're like another...
Not yeah, yes.
You're
like
removed.
It's like
one
a game.
More time.
It's like a game of telephone.
Yeah, it's like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yes,
but it's
it takes
six
a while.
Degrees of goth.
It takes a while to get to Sisters of Mercy.
It really does. But you know what? I feel like I have a little goth in my heart. So
I think
that's
you do.
That's all
I think you both do. There's a lot of darkness in this one over here.
Alexis has
what?
A lot of
yeah.
Emotional
demons.
Darkness.
What?
It's darkness and demons.
Demons is what they call them.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I look so sad. Mm-hmm. That's the truth.
You wear black on the outside because black is how you feel on the inside.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's, Alexis has some
that's
demons.
Marcy.
That's okay. We'll get to that. Yeah, see, I didn't know that because I'm not goth. I didn't get
you
that later.
You fucking knew it because I cried and told Jacqueline several times.
No, I didn't understand the Morrissey lyric that he
Marcy,
said.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, Marcy,
Billy, but Billy's not good at bringing things full circle.
Marcy,
like, Billy, you could have set us up a little better
because
for, like,
I dropped
Jack
it.
To have a moment of like, yes.
But Billy is also, know what he is good at? He's very good at throwing out references that nobody will understand.
Yes.
Good job, Billy.
Yes.
You succeeded
that's
in your
That's very
efforts.
Gen X, by the way.
Very Gen X.
You succeeded.
Talking to two millennials.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Billy, I think it's time to talk about our dark day. What is it today?
So today is May 27th. And in 1998, Michael Fortier was sentenced to 12 years in prison. Now, do you guys know who Michael Fortier is?
No.
No idea.
All right. You know who the Oklahoma City bombing, actually, we did an episode
McVeigh.
On.
Yes. Timothy McVeigh.
Timothy McVeigh, yes.
So how is McVeigh connected to Michael Fortier?
So Michael Fortier actually helped in the planning of the bombing. He actually helped Timothy McVeigh scout out the federal building in mm-hmm. Oklahoma City. His wife actually helped Timothy McVeigh make a fake driver's license that was used to rent that Ryder truck that he used to bomb the Oklahoma City building.
Wait, why were these people helping Timothy McVeigh?
What was the relationship?
They were just buddies. And here's the thing is that...
It's insane. Who nuts. The fuck would help some...
Like, I love you, but we wouldn't help each other do a crime.
Absolutely not.
I'd sooner die. Love you, but...
How do crazy people... Sorry, I know Billy wants to tell you a story, but how do crazy people find each other like that? That's insane.
Not sure. I just find people who I want to do good with.
Yeah, and just like have a beer with.
Right. Take a nap with.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So Michael Fortier actually agreed to testify against Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols,
uh-huh.
in exchange for a lower sentence. And immunity for his wife. So his wife got nothing.
Nothing.
For making the... And who knows? You know what? Who knows? She might have been making the fake ID. He needs a fake ID. Who knows?
She thought
no,
he was
she
just
sounds
trying
sketchy
to...
as fuck. She got lucky.
Yeah. All right. So he gets 12 years in prison on this day in May 27, 1998. He was fined $75,000. for failing to warn about this crime that was going to happen.
Took the lives of...
But here's the thing. Did we really need his testimony? Because we had so much evidence against this guy.
Right.
I mean, if you ever seen the sketch, there's never been a sketch that was better for a perpetrator than the sketch of the Oklahoma City bomber and what looked like Timothy McVeigh. It is dead on. Match them up together. So he was actually released, this guy Fortier. He served only 7.5 years. He was released for good behavior, and he's now in the witness protection program.
Wow.
He has a new identity. So May 27th, this is the dark day.
That doesn't sound like justice to me, Billy. And normally your whole spiel is like to justice. It doesn't seem like justice to be complicit in such a diabolical plot that took so many lives.
And then to just slither out the other side.
Yeah. It's a matter of the prosecutors just wanted to get something so airtight.
Concrete, yeah.
But it really,
so high profile.
But it really seemed like, yes, exactly.
So many people died, government workers.
They wanted to.
They weren't fucking around.
They wanted to dot the I's and cross the T's, so they gave this guy a deal. But at the end of the day, if you know, and here's the message to everybody, if you know somebody is doing something bad, say something.
And that's what blows my mind in every single one of these stories that you hear about somebody like this guy, where it's like you heard your buddy was planning this horrific fucking act and then you were going to go help him out. Like, how do people find each other like that? It blows my mind every single time.
No, I don't even want my friends to know when I'm having a sinister thought, let alone going to commit a sinister act.
It's true.
You know, it's like sometimes I'm like, hey, Jack, I've been having this thought. And it's literally just about like getting double coupons on something. And I'm like afraid to tell her about that.
That's the thing. I'm like, I always wonder about the conversation that's had between people when it comes to something like that.
Well, you know, it's ongoing. You know that they
start off small.
They take temperature.
They give a little. They give a little bit.
Hey, I had a really weird dream last night. I killed someone. They're like, weird. I've never had a dream like that. Or like, I had the exact same dream, bro. And what would you do in your next dream?
Yeah, you keep like dipping your toes in like a little bit further.
You keep pushing the envelope. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey, dude, I, you know, would be totally fine if you had a dream about torturing and dismembering someone. You? They're like, yeah, I'd be fine if you had like a homemade guillotine. Let's talk about this some more. And then it just goes from there. But like, hey, guys, the second you guys begin this, just kill each other.
Okay.
I stand by this.
All right. I wouldn't.
Do not kill outside of yourselves.
No. Time out.
Nope.
Oh my God.
Kill?
No.
If you are going to kill someone else and that's right, part of your vernacular, just kill yourselves.
All right,
I understand where you're going.
I understand the sentiment, but.
Sentiment.
Yes, but.
The sentiment.
Please.
I understand the sentiment.
Yes. No, by the way.
All right. Well,
what we're saying
him,
is tell the authorities, yes.
Uh huh.
Yes, tattletale on your fucked up neighbor
who's going to kill someone
when they say they're going to create a bomb.
Yes.
Well, that's a fucking crazy story. It blows my mind every single time.
It's a dark day.
It's a very dark day. Well, stick around because up next, we've got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead, guilty or not guilty?
All right, so it's time for On the Stand. On the Stand today, we're each bringing a subject that we're bringing on the stand. We're either in defense or we're prosecuting it, and the other two vote if it's guilty or innocent at the end. And then we're going to bring all of our firsties to vote as well, because none of our opinion really matters at the end of the day, right?
I mean, it matters greatly, but we'll pretend it doesn't.
It matters none. I'm going to go first.
Yeah, girl.
On the stand.
You're an empowered woman.
On the stand today is the concept of washing your legs in the shower.
Ooh.
Now, I am prosecuting washing your legs in the shower. This, like my bucket hat debate, has been a debate. Billy is looking at me weird already.
Okay.
It's been a debate that I have had personally It's been brought up in brunch conversations, casually, you know, do you wash your legs in the shower? And it always turns into this gigantic debate. It's also turned into a debate online that has gotten to the likes of like the Today Show, large talk shows, because people are so polarized by this topic of washing your legs in the shower. I personally do not wash my legs in the shower because I believe that when you wash the important parts of your body, the soap and the water will residually wash off anything that you would have had on your legs.
Unless, leg impurities, if you will.
Leg impurities. Unless I was rolling in the dirt or I had an extremely dirty day, I personally don't take soap and wash my legs as themselves. What are your thoughts on this?
So we're going to diverge here. Yes. Because I'm a bath taker.
Oh, yes. Do you like to sit in your soot?
No, I don't have soot.
You like to sit in your filth.
Filth. Okay. No. I am a clean, clean lady. And I take showers and baths. I take a shower and a bath every day. So today we had a meeting. I took a bath when I woke up because my body hurt.
Okay.
Because that's my reality now. So my body hurt. I took a bath, and then usually I use an OC scrub on my legs, and then I shave them.
OC,
and
yeah, yeah,
exactly. I don't know how to say it, but sure, we got it for free in the mail. OC is the best. Anyways, my point is that I wash my legs, but by proxy because I shave them.
Okay, I also, and this is the point that I was going to make. I shave my legs almost every day because I don't like having body hair. And I kind of assume...
It's like a skin buffer.
It's a skin buffer. So you're exfoliating the top layer of your skin off. Also, there's that little thingy on your shaver that has some kind of a little soap on it.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of soap on it. A little strip of astringent, if you will.
A strip of something.
And also, it's got like a little textured layer. It's almost like a buffing device. But my point is that I shave my legs every day and then I buff them with a little brush. So I think I'm getting the dead skin off. That being said, if I only shower, Jacqueline, I feel like once a month you got to do like a buffing, skin scrubbing routine.
Maybe every other week I do a buffing, skin scrubbing routine because I do a fake tan.
Then
you're
in excellent shape.
Yes.
You are good to go.
But the debate here is that there are a lot of people out there, and this is where I'm bringing my facts. There is a Twitter poll of 800,000 people that voted, and 20% of people don't wash their legs. 80% of people wash their legs every single time that they shower.
That's sick. I think a healthy medium is fine. I don't know how many times I've actually put soap on my legs.
That's what I'm saying. Lathering, and then like you're lathering up your whole body. But here's the thing, and Billy can now weigh in because he's looking at me like I'm a crazy person.
This guy doesn't even clean his room. You think he cleans his legs?
Billy, what are your thoughts?
All right. Listen, as the person with the longest legs in the room.
And hairiest. And definitely the dirtiest.
The dirtiest.
Yes. I wash my legs with soap.
Liar.
Every time.
Here's something that I've learned. Men wash their legs more than women.
Who taught you to clean yourself of your family?
I love you say that like it's a bad thing because he washes his body.
In your family, who taught you to clean yourself?
I imagine it was my mother.
She's like, little Billy, huge. You got huge legs. Here's how much soap you need. You put it on this here spongy loofah device and you rub it on your huge legs.
Listen, this is the thing. I mean, kids, I'm assuming most kids when they're taught to shower is like wash your whole body with soap. But as an adult, it's like, dude, you understand how, you know, the soap moves around in the shower.
You know what though? But not taught as a child.
Dropping...
You know, do.
First of all, and I will take offense at the idea that you wash the important parts, which is only the upper part of your body.
No, not the upper part.
The important parts is your genitals.
Or the under part or whatever. It's
literally, and your asshole.
No, that's exactly. The important parts are your underarms and your lady parts. I don't wash my arms.
Really?
I do.
Right, I wash my arms. They don't get dirty.
I don't wash my arms either.
You know what gets dirty is your underarms and your lady butt and your butthole.
All right. First of all, wow. Second of all.
I knew this would spark a debate.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's sparking a debate, all right. Yes. No, I think
tell
it's
us
just
about
a-
yours.
His butthole?
Uh-huh. I
here to see the softer side of Billy Jensen.
The softer side of Billy Jensen. Yes.
I am. I wash the most vulnerable part.
Yes. Yes. I wash myself in a myriad of ways. Ew. And I do put soap on literally every part of my body.
Sorry, this is what I was gonna say is that from my own personal information journey. Gathering and my journey into understanding how people bathe, men seem to wash their whole bodies more with soap than women do. Like when I watch Jared in the shower, he lathers his whole, it's like he's scrubbing.
His life depends on it every day.
I'm in a shower / bath for a reset and a relaxation. I'm not
really doing it for...
clean though, but maybe they smell worse than us.
No, but Jared doesn't smell at all. He doesn't even have body odor.
It's because of how his cleaning regimen.
It's because
he's scrubbing his body with probably one of those coral brushes plus like Dr. Bronner's straight up astringent soap. And he's like, wonder why I never smell, bitch. It's because I fucking rub my red skin raw with this brush.
I do wonder. Oh, I'm like, God. Fuck, why do I have worse body odor than my boyfriend? And it must be because I don't wash myself.
He douses himself in rubbing alcohol.
I need to know. Okay, I'm going to end this with my last fact that I found. It was from a dermatologist, and it's Michelle Farber, and she says, the reason you need to wash with soap is to clean excess dirt and oils from your skin. If your legs are not visibly dirty, it's fine to skip directly soaping them in the shower. Especially patients with dry or sensitive skin, skipping the soap as consistently on legs can help prevent dryness. So that is coming from a fucking doctor that went to doctoral school, and she agrees with me. So she agrees with me.
Yeah, girl, you stand by your beliefs.
Listen, I don't even care. I'm never gonna wash my legs. So I would like to know what your votes are for this.
That would be guilty for not. I mean,
washing your legs in the shower. Yes. How do we vote on this?
You've put it on the stand, and you want it to be not guilty.
Yes, I do want it to be not guilty.
I'm saying not guilty. I think there are bigger fish to fry. You know what? Wash your armpits, bitches, and dicks. Wash them.
You know
your legs are last on the priority list. I'm not snuggling up to your calf.
Well, and you know what smells? Armpits.
Yep.
And genitals.
Yep.
Not legs.
Not your calf. You've never heard one of those embarrassing stories. Like, remember when I didn't wash my calf? No, bitch.
Remember when we had a stinky calf? Yeah.
Do you have a calf? Yeah. Like, that's not even on anyone's radar. Yeah.
No. Yeah. That is true.
Does it take? A good 15 seconds. All right. Good job.
Okay. Well, I'm glad. I feel good about this, and I'm excited for everybody to weigh in. Alexis?
Not guilty.
What are you bringing to the stand?
Okay. So Miley Cyrus has several million followers.
Okay. I think probably 100 million.
Several hundreds millions. She has a mullet. And I want to talk about how we're feeling about the fact that she's bringing this hairstyle back.
Is Miley Cyrus's mullet on the stand?
I think mullets are on the stand.
Yes.
Mullets.
I'm talking the Southern mullet. I'm talking the trailer park mullet. I'm talking the Rich Cyrus mullet. I'm talking the mullet you had as a kid, which is what I had, and that's why it's on my radar. Mullets are on the stand. How do we feel about them? Are they framing our faces properly? They're pretty androgynous. Are they feminine? Are they masculine? Like John Daly, the golfer, had one. Mm. Like,
yeah.
I had one as a child. I'm actually here in defense of mullets.
Okay.
Not as a beautification device, as an empowerment device.
Listen, I'm into this.
Thank you.
Because it's just the antithesis of everything that's going. I mean, it's always the anti-hairstyle. Mullets have never been... Were they actually cool in the 80s?
I mean, my mom gave me one willingly, so...
Yeah, they were very cool in the 80s.
So they were actually cool. It wasn't like a ironically
cool. It wasn't like a parody
cool.
Yeah.
Business in the front, party in the back.
Bitches, can we make that our thing?
This is... You know what? I have a feeling that mullets might have like a legitimate, unironic comeback just because of how... The fashion trends are evolving, and now we're back to the early 2000s, and everybody is trying to wear all these weird styles that we never thought would come back in style. And it's one of those things where it's so bad that I think it's going to be good.
Dude, it's ugly chic, but what's most appealing about it is the practicality. Like, we all want long hair, but we don't want it in our fucking face.
No, there's nothing more annoying than hair in your face.
There's nothing more professional than a bowl cut in the front. Where you're at a meeting and you're like, sir, you can trust me with your finances. I will grow your estate, right?
Wait, you know what mullets are perfect for? And it's kind of a bummer that we're like coming out of COVID. Mullets are perfect for a Zoom meeting.
Fuck.
You know?
Yes.
You know?
Where it's like, hey girl, I've got my like coiffed bangs in the front. But bitches, this is a 10-foot long rat tail in
That's
the back.
Right. You turn, it's like you're doing your Zoom meeting, you look so professional, you turn it off and then you like flip to the side and like flip your mullet hair around.
Dude, the best is when it's trimmed right around the ear, where there's not like long hair you tuck behind your ear. It's trimmed around your ear and you just have the long, the Joe Dirt extension that you can clip right to the nape of your neck.
I mean, listen, I'm a hockey player, so I completely agree with everything that you're
saying.
What
does that have to do with a mullet, though?
Because hockey players, I think hockey players originated the mullet. Because,
did they?
Yeah, because you would have to wear a helmet, and then you would want, if you were trying to get some sort of personality out of, you know, your thing, you would grow your hair in the back. So take a look at Jaromir Jagr, who was one of the greatest hockey players of all time. Name? Take a look at him back in like 1994, and you'll see the perfect example of a hockey player mullet.
Oh.
Vote yes if you'd like to see Billy with a mullet.
Wait, Billy, have you ever had a mullet ever?
Like, of course, yeah.
What? You had a mullet?
What was your mullet?
Right before I had my
can
mohawk.
Dude, dig up
I
these
had,
pictures and share them on the Facebook
right
group?
Right before I had my mohawk, I had a mullet.
Mohawk?
Yeah.
When did you have a mohawk?
I had a mohawk, then I had a modified mohawk.
But what age are we talking about?
Like 15.
So you had a mullet in
like
junior
14,
high.
14, 13, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Show us the mullet. We'll need to do a photo montage of the mullet.
Can you explain, did you have a bang?
I would have a bang, but often it would be a bang. It was like parted to the side a little bit.
Oh,
it was
a side
was a mess.
Part mullet. Yeah. I don't even know if I've seen one of those.
Yeah. And then I would do like the fancy. Listen, feathering was a big thing back then too. So like you would feather your hair up, and the 80s was not a kind time for hair.
No, 80s wasn't a kind time for literally anything.
No, I swear to God. There would be a thing where I went to college and was a freshman in 1990, 1991, and I'd be looking at people's yearbooks. And if you were drunk
Who's
or stoned,
yearbook,
like somebody like
at a party?
Yeah, at a
Anybody's.
Party. And you'd be like in somebody's like dorm room, whatever, and then you'd be stoned or drunk and you'd be looking at these people and everybody had this gigantic hair. And like, have you ever seen the hair of 1980s? Girls,
no, of course,
yeah, it's of course,
yeah. And then you would look at each picture, and you would go, "I went to school with her," and you totally didn't. But the hair was so
like
much.
It was a great equalizer.
No. You literally thought because you were drunk or stoned that you actually went to school with that person.
Yeah,
it's because the
like,
hair
with the little
look
bangs
same.
And the big
hair
poof.
Was so gigantic.
Profound.
It was insane.
Profound hair.
Listen, I love a big hair. So,
how are you feeling about mullets, guys? I was. In the defense of the mullets, how are you feeling?
I'll say not guilty for
guilty.
The mullet.
Not guilty
Friends,
for the mullet.
I feel
Let it fly.
A great unification right
yes.
now. I feel like, hey, Miley, if you're listening, we okay. love your mullet. I fucking love you, Miley. Anyways,
I was
you guys
laughing because she's definitely not listening.
Of course she's not, but she's fucking cool and I support you.
We
your
love Miley
bold
Cyrus.
Choices.
For sure.
Jacqueline or Billy, who's going next?
Did you forget that I already went?
What? Okay, so... Forget where we're going with that. What we need to know now is what Billy is putting on the stand and for what reason today.
You know what? And I think I'm using this a little bit as a therapeutic
okay.
Situation. I don't think I'm grasping it as much as I should.
Okay.
But I want to put golf on the stand.
Golf.
Wow.
Golf is something that seems like a good idea to me.
Okay.
I have played it.
Did you wear that silly hat?
I have worn...
Is that where this started?
That's no. kind of a golf hat.
It is kind of a golf hat.
Mm-hmm.
I have worn golf shorts. I have worn golf shorts that match the golf hat. Now, yeah, I know.
Yeah,
the look that Jack just gave was probably the most horrifying look I've ever seen.
I just don't think I need Billy in a matching outfit.
Really? Or Billy in shorts.
Or that hat.
Or shorts. Your legs are too long for a short.
You don't need to wear that little hat. You don't need to wear those little golf shorts. You don't need to wear a little belt or a little shirt that tucks into your little shorts. You don't need to wear those little socks that pull out of your little golf shoes. You don't need to wear the little golf cart that drives you around the little golf course. You don't need any of these little things because you're a big, strong man.
You know what? You literally, in that moment, wrote a kid's book.
You are welcome, bitches.
The little golf shorts and the little golf hat, driving the little golf cart around the little golf course.
The little
Billy and the little golf course.
Yes.
It's a little goth golf that could.
Yes.
Yes.
And I will
refine that.
Yes. And I will say that, yes, if the golf course was at night, I might be into it.
You don't like the... Okay.
It's the sun.
Billy, most sports are played during the day some sort of a sunlight.
Not hockey.
Except for hockey, which I understand. Mm-hmm.
During the day, you play roller hockey during the day outside. So.
No, it's usually at 7 o'clock at night. So sometimes it's usually when the sun is going down. So you get that transformation of the light into the darkness. And in the darkness is where I excel.
Okay.
Is this a metaphor for something else?
Yeah, it's a metaphor for everything.
Uh-huh. So about golf. So what else do you not like about it? Other than it being during the day and you are unconfident in your matching golf shorts and hat.
I'm not necessarily that good at golf. I will say that. I'm good at the long game. I'm good at the short game. I'm not good at the middle game.
No one's better at the long game than Jacqueline, but that's a different
story. That's a story. Long con that I've heard.
And I will say that I do like the fact that in the first time I ever played golf, a woman comes around in a golf cart and then sells you beer.
Yes. Well, so this
is
where
incredible.
I'm in defense of golf for some reasons and then not in others. But four is that you can drink beer while playing it. There are not many sports that you can drink while playing it, but golf is one of them. So I'm into the drinking aspect of golf. I'm into the golf cart aspect of golf.
Oh, wow.
I'm into... But that's where it ends.
No. You're onto something.
What?
You can drink beer while drinking golf. That is...
While drinking golf.
You can drink beer while playing golf. That's libations during a leisure activity.
That's libations, baby.
Then you can have a golf cart. That is the quintessential luxury, right? You have a little car to drive you around on this lush grass playing your rich sport. Cool. It goes beyond there.
Okay.
Servitude is allowed. A caddy is lugging your shit around for you, and it's not looked down upon because you pay them very well.
Yes.
This is a spoiled son of your friend who owns the golf course. You know, it's an okay servitude situation.
Yes.
Those are three things that are taboo, that is okay in golf.
That's true.
Which might be the reason why golf should be guilty.
No, you're saying not guilty.
You're saying you...
No,
no I'm you saying hate golf.
I'm saying golf
You don't
golf
like those things?
Guilty.
So why do you hate golf,
Billiam?
No, because it's a waste of prime real estate.
Disagree. Golf is innocent.
Listen,
I'd rather they be cemeteries. Boom.
Wow.
You'd rather dead people be where people have joyous outings with their
you know
families.
What?
Why can't it be a cemetery and a golf course?
Why can't the golf course be or the cemetery be down the road?
But
why can't the cemetery just be like kind of obstacle courses for your golf playing?
But I will say this. Mini golf courses, all about them all the time.
Well, here's the thing, and I need to bring it up if we're talking about golf, is Topgolf, which is one of my favorite outings in the entire world.
Different than just golf.
But that's what I'm saying. The things that I like about golf are the drinking and then the fun riding around. That's also what I like about Topgolf is the drinking, and then you're just playing. It's basically a glorified bowling.
Yes.
The thing I don't like about golf is the boringness of it. And then the acute skill that you must have.
Ooh, I love your use of the word acute.
But it's true.
It's a like precision sport
precision
that I
sport.
Don't have the patience for. I need to be like, I need to use my strong arms to haphazardly throw a basketball in the direction of something it could go in.
No, but this is why Topgolf is...
At somebody's head.
No, but this is why Topgolf is good, because you're just whacking the ball, and then literally the golf the holes are 30 feet wide.
Yes.
I can do that.
That's why Topgolf is great, because you're not trying to get it. It's not precision at all. You just whack it, and then also, you don't even have to make it in the hole on the first bounce. It can also roll from 50 mm-hmm. feet away accidentally into another hole.
See, the kinds of sports I like are like, how hard do I hit this soccer ball with my leg, which is my strongest muscle, and
fling it?
It hits this person in the face, and I win. You know,
yeah.
hypothetically,
yes, or that's
pass
a fun,
them into a goal.
That is a fun game.
A
I know they do.
I hate precision sports.
No,
they're not for
fuck
me.
Fuck that. Although mm-hmm. you have, don't let Jacqueline fool you. She'll be like, yeah, yeah, that's such a hard sport. I'm not going to do that. And then she'll beat you and pummel you and embarrass you because she's like, I'm not athletic. And then she's like the most suspiciously athletic mm-hmm. person. It's for just someone who never moves, the most sedentary person I know.
I'm not sedentary.
Completely sedentary.
God.
Completely sedentary. Yeah. She's like, yeah, but it's past 8, so I'm actually in my hibernative state. She'll be like, yeah, 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 cool, cool, cool. Yeah. I'm going to be in my relaxed time. I'm like, what about noon? She's like, no, that's
too late.
Too late. Yeah. Or
you missed.
But she drives a Jeep just to make everybody think that she's
my
like
point
out.
Is
no,
that
I'm not sedentary
she
either.
She says no to things. And then when you muster her strength, she'll mm-hmm. fucking beat you and pummel you. And it's she's a shark. She's a pool shark of life.
Mm-hmm. I am. Just because, I mean, I don't have to talk about it. I just show up and fucking do it. You know,
makes me sick.
That's how I live my life.
I still have a skier's thumb from it, from being tricked by Jacqueline to go down a mountain body first, where my whole body and face was skinned by a mountain. Jack was like, cool, cool, cool. It'll be fun. I'm like, great.
Let's go down that black diamond.
She hurt me, and I'm still in physical therapy.
That's okay. All right. Well, I am. Golf is not guilty in my book.
Not guilty.
I'm going to say guilty.
It's yours.
Yeah, Billy,
he really had his stance was wavering the whole time.
Yeah, it
He's
was.
Like, do I like golf?
Do I? Yeah. I guess.
I'm going to say guilty.
Is this a therapy
He's
session?
Like,
prove me
fuck,
wrong.
Do I want to be a guy who's good at golf?
Do you know what, though? I like the idea of that sport that you talked about, which is you kicking a soccer ball as hard as you can in somebody's face.
That is a fun
that
sport.
Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, I'm into that sport.
That's
yeah.
called
good stuff.
That's called travel soccer team
that's called
in high school.
Amazing. All right. Well, when we come back, Billy is taking us back in time for some true crime rewind.
When I was growing up, I took French in high school, but I could never get the language to stick. I wanted to be fluent so bad, but it never happened. I just couldn't focus and I couldn't practice enough and it didn't work. But thankfully, there's Rosetta Stone, which is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone is different. It immerses you in so many ways. And with its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, and then sentences. And before you know it, boom, conversations. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's true accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the First Degree listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/first. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/first today. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their low lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree 50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and The Real Real makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For The Real Real, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35-plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world, and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The Real Real has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to True Crime Rewind with Billy Jensen.
Oh, no. Alexis is going to tickle
Alexis him. Is going to tickle me. Stop it. Jack is our HR representative, and I have lodged a formal complaint.
I'm telling you, it makes Billy like rise to attention in terms of like him having the energy that we need to run your own
Alexis
segment.
And I have high energy, and Billy is always...
You're with Billy
you guys
Jensen.
You guys are so high energy. You guys are always like, I'm so tired.
I am so tired.
But we fucking bring it when we're
Billy,
off,
this
when
is,
rolling.
This is called a job.
All right.
You got to turn on for your job.
All right. Let's bring it. And you know what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about last meals because we talk about executions in our first episodes. We're talking about last meals. Why do you think last meals started?
I have no idea.
I feel like I Googled this at some point, but I don't remember. But I think it probably has something to do with like dignity.
Yeah, like some sense of humanity.
It's like, oh, maybe it's for the afterlife, or maybe it's like, hey, we're taking your life. I don't know. Actually, I don't remember.
You know what? It's a couple things.
Really?
And you're actually right on both of those accounts. So in medieval Europe, there was a belief that if a prisoner was well fed and then was put to death, they wouldn't come back as a ghost.
No one wants an angry ghost.
No,
that's so interesting. Okay.
No. That makes sense. That witchy shit. Of course they don't want an angry, hungry, hangry ghost.
Nobody wants a hangry ghost.
Nope.
Exactly. So have you ever thought about the, and I know we talked about this on First Degree, the, and we will get to our last meals at some point because we have to say it.
Yeah.
Now, we know about John Wayne Gacy. John Wayne Gacy had deep fried shrimp, a bucket of KFC, French fries, and a pound of strawberries.
A pound of strawberries? Yes.
Bundy had a plate of steak and eggs, hash browns, and coffee. He didn't eat any of it. Mm. And Timothy McVeigh was the one I always think about.
Yep.
2 pints of mint chocolate chip ice cream.
Yep.
But there are others. I want to talk to you about some of the others here. There's a woman named Valerie Barfield, and she was dubbed the Death Row Granny, first woman to be executed by lethal injection in 84 since the reinstatement of capital punishment 7 years prior. You know what she had?
What?
Cheese doodles.
Ooh.
Cheese doodles.
And a can of Coke. Bag of cheese doodles, can of Coke.
Okay.
I'm into that.
Yeah, I mean.
All right, now, James Edward Smith, who is a former tarot card dealer who shot a man during a robbery, he asked for a lump of dirt. And
did he eat it?
No, because they said lump of dirt's not on the approved foods.
That's not on the menu, bitch.
Yeah.
Not on the menu.
So he was given, guess what he was given instead?
Gruel?
Mm. No, what's the worst thing you could think of?
Mashed potatoes.
Oh, liver. Yogurt. Liver and onions.
Yogurt.
I love yogurt.
I'm sure the yogurt they gave him wasn't the best.
I like even though...
Wasn't like a nice Greek.
Oh, okay.
Fahe.
Ew,
Fahe.
Yogurt. Gross.
Or that Icelandic yogurt. Have you had that?
What is it made out of?
I don't know. It's Icelandic.
Have you had it, Billy?
I haven't.
You're like, I've not sure what it's made of. No, it sounds like you're really familiar with it.
I've had it, and all yogurt's consistency, I'm not into. All right. So,
oh, it sounds like you've really had it.
That was a personal problem because most people like yogurt.
Thomas J. Grasso. He was in prison for strangling a woman, an 87-year-old woman, with her Christmas lights on Christmas Eve.
Oh, my God.
So awful. And then he also killed an 81-year-old man in Staten Island.
I hate him.
He asked for 24 steamed clams and mussels, barbecue spare ribs, half a pumpkin pie with whipped cream and strawberries, a double cheeseburger from Burger King.
Burgle?
Or Burger King. And here's the thing. And room temperature SpaghettiOs.
Ew.
His last words were, I did not get SpaghettiOs. I got spaghetti. I want the press to know this.
Oh, my God.
So the worst thing he asked for was prison mussels and clams. Steamed mussels and clams.
Wait,
they're not coming from the prison.
I was going to say, coming from the prison?
No,
Where is it coming from?
No, they're coming from someplace
else.
Any restaurant you want?
Like, what are the specifics of this deal?
Yeah, if you're asking for like, KFC, you're going to get it
John
from,
Wayne Gacy got
KFC.
Yeah, John Wayne Gacy got KFC chicken wings.
Now there's one thing
but
that you don't...
if you've been in prison for a long time, you don't know where to order from.
Sure you do.
You do? If you've been in prison for 30 years?
You know there's going to be an In-N-Out burger.
Yeah, there's still your fast food places. They
not
haven't gone
mussel
anywhere.
And clams are us, my friend.
Well, maybe he ordered it from a specific restaurant, his favorite. Mm. You never know.
Now, here's the thing. It's like what you don't see in any of these is alcohol.
Oh, can they not order
They're
booze?
Not allowed to have booze
in
most American prisons. Now, in San Quentin, before you get to the gas chamber, they used to give you a little bit of whiskey. They stopped that. But now,
they give everybody whiskey?
No. If you're going to the gas chamber, it's just like, hey, you can have some whiskey. And
I'd
want to
be wasted.
No.
Like, I'd be like, this is a dream. I'm going to lean into this whole pretend scenario. That is so scary.
It's terrifying.
Even if you deserve it, it's scary. You know, we got to be honest about like the realities of that. It's scary. Yeah.
Now, you know that Texas likes to put people to death.
Sure.
Yeah.
But they don't have the last meal anymore.
They
do have one, but it's the regular cafeteria food. And here's the reason why. It was a guy named Lawrence Brewer. Here's what he asked for. And this guy was a white supremacist. And he ordered two steaks, a triple meat cheeseburger, a cheese omelet, a large bowl of fried okra, three fajitas, a pint of ice cream, and a pound of barbecue meat. And you know what? He ate none of it. And people were outraged.
A big fuck you, I'm assuming.
A Texas state senator said, you know what? Enough of this. And then they stopped it. From now on, you're going to have the same meal that everybody's having in the cafeteria.
Wow. It is a waste of money. And honestly, like, you can't let this guy get one over on you. Where it's like, I'm going to make like people jump through tons of hoops to appease me. And then I'm going to not eat it to spite them.
Well,
he gets
like the last laugh. Well, it's fucked up.
He's actually like the worst kind of criminal. He ruined it for everyone else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because he's selfish and petulant and spiteful.
Yeah. And there's a guy named a Virginia death penalty lawyer named John Sheldon. He actually said that the last meal was not intended to comfort the person who was being put to death, but it was meant to, so society would see that, like, this is a human about to be killed.
Right.
You know, and just have a little bit of empathy. But
everyone's going to have their own take on it, depending on their position on the death penalty. And that's not something we're talking about. We all have our own opinions on that. It is what it is, though. American law allows it. Federal law allows it. So we're just commenting on that. But yes, based on people's beliefs about the death penalty, they're going to filter this meal through that belief.
Yeah.
Do we know if they have the last meal in any other countries, or is it like a strictly American thing?
I mean, the UK used to have the last meal. I'm not sure what they do now.
I'm sure Western civilizations do. It's one of those like pretty widely... here's the thing. Most continents actually don't have the death penalty. Mm-hmm. It's why the EU didn't really want us in it. It's like us and Turkey, I guess, don't have the death penalty. And they look down on us for that.
Yeah.
Europe doesn't have it. I don't think Britain has it.
Yeah.
So,
all right. So my question is to you, what would be your last meal? And we're talking about not if you're a bad person, but what would be your last meal if you knew you were about to shuffle off that mortal coil the next day?
What is a mortal coil?
That's your skin. That's your body.
Ew. Ugh.
I'm repulsed.
I just feel like it's your skin slithering off
my
your body.
My coil? Mortal coil?
Yeah. Ugh.
More like my mortal velvet draping.
Okay, that's also so gross. I don't like
that's either a George Costanza reference, and I resent you for not picking up on it.
Yes.
Jacqueline, if your robe of velvet skin was to fall off you, what would your final meal prior to that experience be? Like if you were a snake shedding
mortal
your last coil.
Layer. So when we were talking about this, we're giving each other five things you can add to your last meal. Am I going first?
Yes
please.
Okay. So my first thing that I would get is a McDonald's 10-piece chicken nugget meal with a Coke. So that's one thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. So I got the nuggets. I got the fries. I got the Coke. I'm getting some ketchup and straight honey on the side.
Oh, girl.
That's one. Then I would get a Nobu sashimi platter. Mm. So I'm having all of my sushi delights.
Yes.
Then I think I would like just a fucking lobster.
Ooh, whole lobster with
a whole
vat of butter.
Lobster with butter and lemon. Yes. And then that can kind of, that takes off most of my... my
Bacon.
Meal,
yeah.
Then I just want the best fresh baked chocolate chip cookie that I can get.
What about turkey sandwich?
And then lastly, I didn't get a sandwich on here because I feel like the McDonald's
all
can
right,
really
all right, time out.
Don't
you
tell
just,
it.
No,
don't.
You just went to a nice warm chocolate chip cookie, and then Alexis goes, "What about a turkey sandwich?"
Yep.
Listen, a turkey
as
sandwich.
A woman who has a fridge in my apartment with a half a turkey sandwich from Jacqueline on
I know.
An open platter.
I've seen it in there.
Here's the thing. Yes, I mean a turkey sandwich is a mainstay in my meals, but I'm thinking of indulgence. Mm. So I was gonna think. Mm-hmm. I was thinking turkey sandwich, but I'm also thinking. Lobster is so indulgent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I was going with lobster. Okay, fresh baked chocolate chip cookie. And then to really tie it all in a bow, mint chocolate chip ice cream with the chocolate magic shell
fudge.
On it.
Ooh, the chocolate
no,
magic.
Chocolate magic. The magic shell.
Fudge.
Mm. No fudge. I'm not a fudge.
You right. go, Billy.
Okay.
Good meal, Jack.
That's a good
Sorry,
meal.
Sorry, before I move on, and I'm pissed because we may have some overlap, but I'm going to try to think outside the box in the meantime.
Okay. I'm going to go with a New York style pizza slice.
Oh, that's a good one.
Good pizza.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about. Nathan's fries.
Yuck.
Nathan's fries are pretty
Nathan's
good.
Fries.
McDonald's fries.
No.
I mean, McDonald's fries are the best fry in the entire world.
Nathan's fries. I would say McDonald's fries when they used to have the beef fallow on it, which was back, you know, in the 80s.
They still have that really, like, dirty grease. That's delicious.
A steak. Huh? And you know what? I'm fine with a steak from really anywhere. Give me an Outback steak. Give me an Outback filet.
All
right. And I'm fine with that.
It's not hard.
A Reese's peanut butter cup egg.
Yuck.
Yes.
Ew.
So good.
Ew.
A pretzel with mustard.
Ew. Wait. A Reese's egg?
Yes.
I'd be like, I'd throw up all my other food
okay.
if I ate all right, that.
All right.
Wait, is a Reese's egg, it's just the Reese's cup in an egg shape?
Yes.
Why not the cup?
Because
you like
there's,
more, you there's like more peanut butter.
More peanut butter than
that,
there is
no,
chocolate.
No, that's not a good, it's not a good
no,
ratio.
The ratio. The ratio is so good.
It's off.
Billy.
And you guys are wrong. In so many ways.
God,
all right, can I keep going, please?
I guess.
A pretzel with mustard from outside Yankee Stadium.
Okay.
Is it like soft?
Yeah,
soft,
soft
pretzel.
That's a nice, that's a good choice.
And I'm going to wash it down with a fribble from Friendly's.
What the fuck is a fribble?
I hate when you say that word.
I know. She hates
a
Friendly's.
A fribble? I think...
You know what other words, by the way, that Alexis hates? Tabernacle.
Yep.
Ramshackle.
Okay. No, fripple reminds me of like some, it's like a yucky sexual word.
That's right. Like dog kibble, but with an F. You sick fuck.
Fripple, it like reminds me of like a loin or something. A fripple loin.
Would you like a fripple? A
no.
fripple loin?
What the fuck is a fripple?
My butcher is going to
stop
you
this.
A nice
Leave her alone.
A fripple
we want
loin.
Her to sleep tonight.
Okay.
What is it? Wait, explain what a fripple is before we move to Alexis.
It's a shake from Friendly's.
That has what in it? Three different flavors?
It could be a strawberry shake is usually what the...
It's like a malt. Yeah. It's like a milkshake, but they just want to...
Yes.
They're trying to brand.
Yeah. Branding. Do you know anything about branding, Jack Vanek?
They need some Jack Vanek help for their branding, because that is a disgusting word. Alexis, what are your last meal choices?
Okay. So I think to pull from each of you two, a surf and turf, a lobster steak combo.
That's
with
nice.
A dill butter dipping sauce, maybe a potato on that plate also to like knock that out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No. Now you're creating your meal.
There's a side of mashed potatoes.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's one thing.
Then I love an incredible turkey sandwich, since you didn't opt in on that. Mm-hmm. Like an amazing, like All About the Bread has one. Bay Cities in Los Angeles has one. Like an amazingly amazing turkey sandwich with cheese. And you put like salt and vinegar chips on it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's what I did today. It was delightful.
Then I'm going to go with Jack with a sushi option. I'm going to go sugarfish, though. I'm going to go the Try Me, which
trust
is like...
Trust Me?
Fuck. The Trust Me, whatever the fuck. A whole... smorgasbord of sushi selections. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to go. Like a really good burrito. Mm. And I know that's not Jack's thing, but you know a burrito.
I like a good burrito.
Then I'm from Long Island. I love like an egg bagel with cream cheese.
Ooh.
Like the best bagel there ever was. Ooh. Right? Like the best carby, fluffy bagel with
a
crispy
shit ton of cream cheese.
Fuck ton of cream cheese.
Wow, that's actually.
Am I out? Or do I have one more?
No, you. I think that's it. But
I have one more.
You're not a sweets person, so.
No, I don't want sweets. What I would want is like something, like a root. Like I love like beets with like heirloom tomatoes and burrata. Like I love like a healthy, but like cheesy.
You're gonna eat healthy for your last meal.
No, but like it tastes good with like burrata all over it, with like a crostini to put it on top of.
Yeah, I mean, I do love that. That is
right?
One of my favorite meals.
Let me go with a cheese plate with some. Some veggies and stuff. Like a crazy cheese charcuterie board is my last one. With lots of carbs.
That's an underrated thing. Because the cheese plate could have truly anything on it.
And then I'd want alcohol pairings with all the things I just mentioned.
Yes. Okay.
Bitches.
All right.
That was great.
God, I feel fucking angry and hungry.
Hangry.
For some reason.
Is what we call that.
Hangry.
All right. Well, you know what's going to happen next?
What's going to happen next, Billy?
Next is we're going to hear... the worst things that you've ever done.
Right.
And we're talking about you, the listeners. So stay tuned.
It's bad. It's bad.
You're all the fucking worst. Okay, bye.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Friends, we are revisiting our fondest of times.
Oh.
The worst. The absolute worst. It's our favorite segment because we're all bad people deep down.
I mean, I feel like everybody at the end of the day is probably a bad person.
A little bit. And even if you're actually not, you're such a good person that you did one thing that's not even that
and
bad.
And your bad thing will take you over.
And you feel so bad about it when it wasn't even that big of a deal.
That you are a bad person.
And that's how you're able to recognize that it is bad because you are a good person.
But it's not even bad. But you just are over empathetic. But my point is that forget all of that. Send us the worst thing you've ever done, the worst thing at thefirstdegreepodcast.com. But ignore what I just said because you should really be sending it to us via voicemail with your own sad, guilty voice. Yes. 323-539-3516. Please leave us a voicemail. Your identity will be forever protected. So please send us that shit for the love of God. Anyways, I know we're encouraging voicemails, but we're going to lead by disexample by reading an email we were sent. But we advise against this. But here you go. Yikes. I still feel guilty about this sometimes.
Then I realized some people just need to be knocked off their high horses and humble themselves. Girl, yes. Oh. I try to be very salt of the earth. I am never petty unless I have super valid reason. Anyways, years ago, I used to work for an optometrist office, and some doctors are just god-awful people, along with their office manager. I see where this is going. This place was a top-notch location and sold very high-end glasses. We were made to sell, for the love of God, sell, which I get. That's what we were there to do. That was our job. I'm not even really sure how I even got hired. Anyways, the people who were working there were very, very mean. And our friend here who wrote in just could not take it anymore. So what she said was, anyways, one day I could not take what was happening anymore. And here's the kicker, and where I did the worst thing I've ever done. Reviews were everything to this office. They lived and died by the reviews that they were receiving. Absolutely. Like, we would read them every morning in the office meeting to make sure what was going on was okay. And they were holding people accountable based on these reviews. She said, one day, I was so fed up and I sat next to the office manager and I wrote an anonymous, absolute worst review about her ever, saying she was rude, called her mean, and said she ate at her desk and that I was appalled by it. They did not read that review aloud in the office meeting, but they were humiliated and they searched all day in the charts looking for clues about which patient it could have been who left this review.
No.
She said, I worked there for another 6 months. The only soul I told was my husband, who definitely thought they deserved it. The day I quit, I asked her if she remembered that review, and I was so damn mad walking out of that place that I came clean and I told her I wrote it. I left and had another job lined up the very next day. I now work in education and elementary school kids. I'm a school custodian and I am just as happy as I can be with no mental stress. Just pop in my headphones and listen to the podcast 8 hours a day. It's not the most important job or glamorous, but I have not cried a day since. Girl,
wow.
What I appreciate about this, you owned your shit. Mm-hmm. And you told her. You're my hero.
Not many people would own up to their shit. She didn't have to.
No.
She didn't have to, but she held that on her guilty conscience and she had to come clean. And I love that about her.
God, I love how the life she lives in hindsight, where she's like, watching them all spiral, trying to figure out who it was, and then absolving herself of the guilt by coming clean.
Yeah.
Girl, you have it all figured out.
She really did it. Well, this is what I think is interesting about our situation is, I mean, pretty much if you own a business, you're probably going to get a bad Yelp review, right? But most of the time it's like you're a sandwich shop and there's, you know, dozens or hundreds of patrons that come in every day. This optometrist probably had 5 patients a day. They had their name, their phone number, their email, exactly what they did. So they could track down who was writing this review and they did their investigative work to find who it was. So that was a ballsy move to even write this very specific review.
Yeah.
It's because she came clean. But can I ask you a question, Billy? If you were a business, how would your reviews be?
If I was a business, like how would my reviews be? As a human?
Not a human. A human.
Human.
Do you think you would have good reviews?
I think I'd have good reviews, but they would say that my bedside manner was not great.
But
he gets the job done.
We all pretty much are...
We have bad reviews.
Exactly. Our lives are.
I have
our
bad reviews. It's like, the guy gets the job done. But I mean, I can read some of the reviews. I recently had a comment, I believe on Instagram, that simply said, could you be more of a pretentious prick?
The answer is no, my friend.
No. Yes.
So there you go.
Actually, you could try, but don't dare him.
Yeah, don't dare this guy. He'll do it.
He'll wear his hat.
I'm going there, and the hat's coming on.
Yeah. And you know what?
I'm going to start golfing, too.
And he might wear a matching short with that hat.
Yeah.
Oh,
and a matching... Skort. What were those shoes that you talked about the other episode?
The Sandukes? The Sandukes?
And a matching Sandukes.
For the love of God, keep those Sandukes out of here.
Yes.
Keep the Sandukes out of here.
And I will be eating a Reese's peanut butter egg in
disgusting.
Front of you.
You're sick.
You're...
Billy's just alone with his little sad sandals eating a peanut butter egg
by himself. Here's the thing when I think about the egg. I know I'm going way off course now. I feel like it's one of those eggs that you bite into and then the whole egg cracks and then peanut butter just starts ripping all over your hand.
Jack, when I picture you with a little egg in a corner, I see you as like a little mongoose who stole it from a fucking hen house.
That's what she looks like right now.
Right? She's like, ooh, it's like I see a ferret eating an egg under a porch somewhere.
But the egg is, and for some reason in my mind, the peanut butter in the egg is like liquid. So then when you bite it, it just like starts spilling everywhere and the all egg's right, cracking all over your hand.
I don't know if you were fucking Billy or sicker. You guys have to congregate.
You're thinking of the Cadbury creme egg or cream
you
egg?
You are sick creme? For saying these things.
Creme.
Yes.
I hate
Billy's
you.
Billy's invented his own accent.
He's like, creme.
Don't forget
you
the
are like, you're Catherine O'Hara.
Mm-hmm.
In Schitt's yes. Creek with a bebe. Bebe.
Yeah.
You're like creme egg.
Creme
extraordinaire.
Egg. Yes.
Yeah, I'm done with that. Yeah. I'm good.
Yeah. All right. Well.
All right. You know what it's time for?
It's time for the Costanza Stanza, bitches.
I'm so glad we're all here for this. So.
By the way, when we were talking about this episode in general and Alexis was talking about the Costanza Stanza, she's like, you know, I have to finesse. Well, it is a haiku.
Well,
or is it not?
No, this is more just a series of quotes that George Costanza himself said that I'm going to repeat in dramatic reading.
Love it, love it, love it.
So, like, okay. I didn't write this.
I used to do this with music lyrics. I would take lyrics from, like, Counting Crows and Third Eye Blind and kind of mish them together and create my own
yes,
lyrics.
So these are three profound quotes. These are three profound quotes written by the writers of Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
As Larry George.
David. Yeah.
Yeah, so... Quote, mm-hmm. My father was a quitter. My grandfather was a quitter. I was raised to give up. It's one of the few things I do well. Mm-hmm. Quote, closed quote, open quote. I'm disturbed. I'm depressed. I'm inadequate. I've got it all.
One of my favorites resonates
the most.
One of my favorites.
Quote, if you take everything I've accomplished in my life and condense it down to one day, it looks decent. Close quote.
Genius.
Bye.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.